Hi, welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Seahawks podcast. We are doing a Locked On Seahawks, Locked On Raiders crossover episode. It's just going to be me, Grant Goldberg, on the Locked On Raiders podcast. We have the audio for you. I did have to call in, so you hear my voice, over the phone. Hopefully that won't be too much of an issue. Before the show, I'll give a quick intro of myself. I am Grant Goldberg. I co-host this Locked On Seahawks podcast, and I do social media and graphic design work for SB Nation's Lakers site. So make sure you stick through the whole episode. It's a lot of great content. It's a lot of great conversation with Q from Locked On Raiders. He asked a lot of great questions, and hopefully you hear some stuff that we weren't able to talk about on the show, and you get a little bit of insight on the Raiders. So enjoy the conversation, but first, enjoy a quick word from one of our sponsors. The Seahawks travel to Wembley Stadium to face off against the Oakland Raiders this Sunday in London. Now, it's going to be a fun game, but one way to make it more interesting is to put some money on it. And you can put money on the game with MyBookie.ag. They have quick payouts because MyBookie knows it's important to get your money. It has a very easy interface to use, whether it's desktop or mobile. And you can do live in-game betting, so you can make a decision on where to put your money based on where the game is going. Now, if you're an existing user of MyBookie, we've got a great deal for you. You can put down $100 and MyBookie will give you $25 free to play with as so long as you use the promo code LOCKEDON25. And new users can get their first deposit matched dollar for dollar. So we got two great deals going on. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to get $25 free on top of $100 deposit or more. And so that's MyBookie.ag.
Joining me now on the phone lines to talk a little Raiders Seahawks is the host of the Locked On Seahawks, Grant Goldberg, at Grant Goldberg on Twitter. And Grant, the Seahawks coming off a tough loss to the Rams in Seattle. It was a big 4th-and-1 call by Sean McVay. The Rams pick it up and run out the clock. Right now, Seattle sits at 2-3 on the season. What's the mood and the feelings around the team? How are the fan base feeling about the team? And is this kind of what was expected going into 2018?
I feel like if you look at the Seahawks record sitting at 2-3, It's definitely what I thought we were going to be headed into in 2018. But if you ask a lot of Seahawks fans and you ask me, if you ask my co-host Spike, then I'd say this is the most positive reaction we've had to a loss in the last half decade. I guess none of us really expected it to be that close with the Rams, especially missing Earl Thomas and having so many key departures from last year. But they hung tight. They fought hard. And they really made it a game. It was a tough loss, like you said, but there's a lot of positives to take from it. And I think the outlook on the season has improved after this loss, actually, which is incredibly funny to say, given like the standards of all the Seahawks fans, everyone you talk to. You know, everybody wants to be a Super Bowl contender, but the expectations were tempered coming into this year, but I think now the sights are still on the playoffs for Seahawks fans.
Yeah, see, and that's what's funny to me, because going into the season, and even when I saw the Seahawks on the schedule, I thought, okay, this is a very winnable game. I mean, the Legion of Boom is not the Legion of Boom. At that time, you still had Earl Thomas. Then he goes down. It's like, okay, now he's out too, and you never want to root for injuries or anything, but just knowing his talent, him being out, okay, that's another strike against them. And it just looks like, the run game was struggling. Now all of a sudden, it looks like the Seahawks have found a little bit of a run game. This team looks like you mentioned, they could still make a playoff run, where at the beginning of the season, I felt this was a team that was probably going to miss the playoffs.
Yeah. We definitely had to readjust expectations compared to other years because of those departures I mentioned. Richard Sherman got hurt. Cam Chancellor had to retire. Same with Cliff Averill. Michael Bennett got shipped out of town. And even going into the season, KJ Wright wasn't healthy. He should be back after the bye week. He won't be in the Seahawks-Raiders game in London. So, there was just a lot of question marks. There's a lot of holes that young players, rookie players, were going to have to fill. And I'll have to say that I'm pretty pleased with the way that these young guys are playing.
I have no doubt about that. Matter of fact, a couple of those young guys, Michael Dixon and Shaquem Griffin, both of those guys I was very high on in the draft. I really wanted the Raiders to go and draft Michael Dixon in particular, the punter out of UT, and it's very rare that you're even rooting for a punter, but he's a hell of a kicker, and I'm sure at this point you know that. And Shaquem Griffin, well, we all know the story of him out of UCF. What have you seen from these young guys so far early in the season?
Well, it's kind of funny. Michael Dixon has sort of taken on this folk hero persona with the Seahawks fans. He's been, really, really good for a rookie punter. I guess we had to adjust our expectations after a few regular season games because he was absolutely, kicking the heck out of the football, punting the heck out of the football in the preseason and in training camp. So everybody was super excited, but, we have to look back and say, yes, he is a rookie and he's going to have these, bumps at times. But, generally, when he drafts a punter, he's going to have to be good. And that's what Michael Dixon's been. And you can only expect him to get better. And as far as Shakeem, he hasn't seen the field a whole lot on defense, but he is as notable of a player on special teams as anybody. He pops off the screen. He's always utilizing his speed to get down the field. He's maybe has a habit of over-pursuing at sometimes, but, man, he really pops off the screen. And hopefully, he can get better integrated on the defense to add a little bit more versatility to the Seahawks linebacking core.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you what, he's a firecracker. I remember hanging out with him at the draft. I actually got an opportunity to just interview him and just hang around him and just kind of get his energy. And, man, that dude, he has a ton of energy, and he will not be stopped. And so very excited that he's a member of the Seahawks up there playing with his brother. I think that's a hell of a story. So very happy for him, even though I'm not going to lie, definitely wanted him to be a member of the Silver and Black. I thought that would have been so intimidating. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine a dude without an arm, and I'm not trying to make a joke out of it, but just a dude with no arm or one arm out there in the Silver and Black with a pirate on the side of his helmet, like, that would have been awesome. I think it would have been great.
Yeah, and maybe because, all these gloves are getting tricked out. Like, everybody has their own design, especially with the cleats, but, you put some swag on that glove and you put a hook on that, like, that's a perfect on-field outfit. And I think, Twitter would go crazy with it, Instagram. It'd blow up everywhere.
Yeah, it really would, man. That'd be like a Raider to its T. But, I mean, he's a member of the Seahawks, and that's great. And I definitely root for that guy because he's just a hell of a story, like I mentioned. Let me ask you this, because this game, man, the Seahawks and the Raiders, obviously there's a lot of ties. There's a lot of guys that used to be on the Seattle Seahawks that are now in Oakland. There's a lot of guys that were in Oakland are now in Seattle. Well, one guy who was in both places, Seattle and Oakland, and has returned to Seattle, Ken Norton Jr., he's now the defensive coordinator. What has been your thoughts on him? Because I'll tell you right now, man, Raider fans were so happy to see him leave town. What has been your thoughts on Ken Norton Jr. in his return to Seattle?
I think generally I was happy with, the way the defense was playing. This is a reoccurring theme, but, losing these all-pro players, really lowered expectations. And up to this Rams game, the Seahawks were sixth in total defense for DVOA. And so, I didn't know what to expect with Ken Norton because he did have such a weird time in Oakland. A lot of people weren't happy with him. And it kind of got the sense that Pete Carroll was just hiring his guy and it was going to be mostly Pete running the defense. And I don't know the hierarchy of these things in Seattle because I'm not in the facility. I'm not in the organization. But, I'm definitely pleased with it. The defense is a little bit more aggressive at times. And that's kind of a step up from Chris Richard, who was more aggressive than some of the other defensive coordinators that passed through Seattle. So I'd say through these 5 weeks, I haven't been super disappointed with Ken Norton, which I'd say is a really big positive.
Yeah, that's got to be a positive. I'm telling you, man, the Raider fans were ready to ship that dude straight out of Oakland. They didn't care where he went. He went to San Francisco originally and then ended up right back in Seattle. So, yeah, good for him if he works out. But I'll tell you what, man, none of us as fans were upset to see that dude leave town. Now, another guy who used to be in Seattle who's now a member of the Oakland Raiders, Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch. Ever since he left the Seahawks, they really were struggling to find a run game. Drafted Rashad Penny out of San Diego State in the first round, which blew my mind. I couldn't believe that they actually went out on the limb and done that. And he seems like he's been phased out of the offense. But Chris Carson, all of a sudden he's coming on strong, played really good against Dallas, had a good game against the Rams. Is he the real deal? Is he the solution for the Seahawks run game?
Yeah, it definitely seems like it. When you pair him, especially with a guy like Mike Davis, who runs almost as hard and runs almost as fast, and Mike Solari overhauling this offensive line scheme in favor of Tom Cable's zone blocking scheme. I think we're seeing like the perfect mix for the Seattle run game. Chris Carson was actually, he had a lot of steam going into last season and the preseason and training camp. He was turning heads, and guys were like, all right, well, we really have to look out for this seventh round running back out of Oklahoma State. And he looked He looked the part early last season, but then he had a nasty ankle injury, kept him out for the year. But he has returned, and he looked every bit as good, if not better. You see this guy, if he has a head of steam, you better watch out. And, you know, as you know, hard as he can run you over, he can step past you just as quick. And the thing I just get worried about a little bit is ball security. He's a little wild with how he carries it. But, man, he carries it far, and he runs through some guys. So I'm super happy with Chris Carson. He, you know, I'm generally more of a pass-happy guy rather than run the ball, but I'm okay when the ball's in 32's hands.
Yeah, well, the biggest thing, I think, is you don't want Russell Wilson to be the number one rusher again. You don't want him to be the guy,
yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense. So if Chris Carson could be the guy, maybe that's a guy to look out for on Sunday. And speaking of Sunday, the game is in London, and I'll tell you off the top, I'm never a fan of these games. I don't like traveling across the pond. I don't like the team having to make that big trip to London. I get what the NFL is trying to do, but I'm just not a big fan of it. Don't think that these guys' bodies get adjusted correctly. But thinking about this game on Sunday, Seattle, Oakland, London, just off top, man, what are your thoughts on this game?
Well, I'd say that I thought it was a pretty even matchup going into the year. And then, you know, you have all these things with Khalil Mack and, you know, the Raiders playing these really weird games where they're super competitive through the first three quarters. And then, you know, in the fourth quarter, everything, you know, goes to crap. And then the Seahawks, you know, they keep things close, but, you know, weren't able to finish out a couple of games, bounce back, get a couple of wins, and then have a super competitive game against the Rams. But, you know, generally I think hopes are high, and I think Seattle ultimately gets the win. I know it sounds like a homer pick, but, you know, as a football fan, I think that, you know, as long as you have Russell Wilson and you have Bobby Wagner on the other side of the ball, and I just give the experience tip of the cap to the Seahawks, because they have enough players that have been to the playoffs, that have been to the Super Bowl to kind of give them the nod. I know it's a tough game for both teams, and really, if there's any game that can go either way, it's a game where both teams have to travel all the way from the West Coast of the U.S. to London. It could turn out any way, but if it's on a neutral field, so I'm giving it to the Seahawks.
Do you think that it's smart for the Seahawks to leave? They're leaving after practice on Wednesday, where the Raiders, they're not leaving until after practice on Thursday. Do you think it's smarter to get there early and try to get your body acclimated to the environment of being, you know, that 14-hour flight and being over in London instead of the U.S.?
Yeah, I thought that was smart. And I was scratching my head a little bit about the Raiders traveling later than the Seahawks. And I scratched my head a little bit more given John Gruden's reluctancy and fear of this flight. I read up on a comment where he said that he was really dreading the idea of this, and he doesn't want to get vertigo, and he's had to travel overseas for his son's weightlifting competition in Belarus, and he had vertigo for like a month,
yep.
And he couldn't lay down sometimes. So now I was really curious to, you know, wonder why, like, they weren't giving him just a little bit more time to get acclimated.
I was, too. It blew my mind. And when I heard that vertigo thing, it just scared me to death. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? That's all the Raiders need on top of this season that they've already had. Now their head coach is going to have vertigo on the sideline. That's never a good thing. I'll tell you, man, going into this game or going into the season, I thought, okay, this is going to be an even match, kind of like what you said. But given what I've seen from the Raiders so far this season and seeing that the Seahawks are playing and they're playing better than I thought that they were going to play this season, I got to give the nod to Seattle as well. I feel like they're going to be you know, the team that's probably a little bit more prepared. I don't think the Raiders really quite know, and I don't think Chucky quite knows what he's getting into going over to London. It's just one of those situations. I feel like Seattle just kind of has a little bit more of an edge. Not much. I'm not saying they're a whole lot better, but I just feel like ultimately, you know, the Seahawks are probably going to do a couple more things better than the Raiders are going to do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, you know, it's a lot closer than some people might think on paper. The Raiders, they're a tough team. They have a coach that likes to play tough football. And on the other side, Pete Carroll always has his guys competing. That's his mantra, always compete. And so I think we're in for a fun game. There might be some sloppiness given, you know, the crazy amount of miles they travel.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, ultimately I think it'll be a good time. And, you know, hopefully we get a really good game.
Let me ask you this. I forgot to ask you a little bit earlier. How has the offensive line been for Seattle? That's been a struggle for some years. I know they went out and made the move last season to get Dwayne Brown from Houston. They extended him. That's good for the left tackle spot. But how's the rest of the offensive line doing for Seattle?
Yeah, I even went as far yesterday yesterday on the show to say that this is the best the Seahawks offensive line has looked in years, and which is crazy to say, but it's not a very high bar.
Right.
You have Dwayne Brown locking it down on the left side. You move Jarrett Sweezy from right guard to left guard. You have Justin Britt locking it down the middle. And DJ Fluker, man, he's been the signing of the offseason so far for the Seahawks. He hasn't been completely healthy in Seattle, but when he's been on the field, he's absolutely mauling guys in the run game. And I think that's, you know, he deserves a lot of credit for the running game being so rejuvenated. And he hasn't been as terrible as advertised in the passing game either. And then, you know, on, all the way at right tackle, you have Jermaine Ifedi, who is a huge question mark coming into the season, into the preseason. He had a knack for penalties. He's constantly getting beat, and it's just been almost a 180 for Jermaine Ifedi. I mean, there's still some mistakes, and that's going to happen with a young player and a player with as much to, as far to go as Ifedi does. But he's been a really pleasant surprise throughout these last few weeks, really consistent, and especially after such a rough performance against Denver in Week 1 and then Khalil Mack in Week 2. But he's definitely gotten better as the season's progressed. And so I'm really happy with the state of the offensive line right now. And I think a lot of that credit goes to adding Mike Solari, getting rid of Tom Cable, and, you know,
Bringing
some life into this team.
Thanks. We got Tom Cable.
Yeah. And I had to throw that little jab in there. You know, as a Seahawks fan, he's, you know, the opposite of a fan favorite, you know, on and off the field. He wasn't good for the Seahawks in any sort of way. So, you know, I was happy to see him leave, and I was scratching my head to see why the Raiders picked him up, and I was like, oh, you want that gritty guy if you're John Gruden. So it didn't really surprise me. I was just scratching my head a little bit.
Yeah, no, it surprised me. I didn't expect it to happen, but I know that relationship he has with Beast Mode, I kind of figured that had a lot to play with it as well. And, you know, he convinced Gruden that he can make it happen. So we'll see what happens there. So basically, from the sounds of it, when you're talking about the offensive line for Seattle, it doesn't sound like former Seahawk Bruce Irvin's going to get off and have a big day as far as sacks. And it doesn't sound like rookie Arden Key's going to get off and have a big day for sacks. And maybe Russell Wilson's not holding the ball quite as long as he was early in the season. So maybe that side of the ball and the offensive line is doing a lot better than it was early in the season.
Yeah, no, I was really pleased with how they played the Rams. You know, their rush is more interior with Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and I was super, super happy with the way that they played against them. You know, in years past, Aaron Donald's been a game wrecker against the Seahawks, made Russell Wilson's life a living hell. But I was really happy with the way they played, and it gave me confidence. I know Bruce Irvin, you know, is a nasty player. He bends the edge and he gets to the quarterback, and he uses that, you know, freak athleticism that he has to get to the quarterback. And so, you know, if there's a guy that gets to Russell Wilson, I think it's going to be the guy that knows him best on the Raiders defense, and that's Bruce Irvin.
Well, hopefully, as far as I'm concerned, Raider fans are concerned, I hope he gets to him a couple times, but we all know, and we've heard John Gruden say it multiple times, it's hard to find a good pass rush, and the Raiders definitely are struggling with the pass rush. I'm not even going to get into the guy that's already gone that's a really good pass rusher. That's a whole nother story. But you got anything for me? You got anything that you want to know or touch on?
Yeah. No, I wanted to see, you know, where Derek Carr was this season, like how he's performing as a general, you know, just generally, because, you know, you have such a hot and cold opinion of him on Twitter and, you know, on all these sites. So, you know, I want to hear from, you know, Locked On Raiders, you know, how has Derek Carr been this season, and how confident are you in Derek Carr going into the Seahawks game?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned hot and cold, because that's how his season's been. It's really been hot and cold. I mean, it's just, that's the best way to sum it up. I haven't used that term yet, and it's a real simple one, and I don't know why I didn't think of that, but that's exactly what he's been. He's had moments where he's been great. Game 2 against the Broncos, he was on fire. Even though the Raiders lost the game, he had a hell of a performance. Week 3, he had a damn good performance against Miami, and they took that loss as well. But, you know, then there's other moments where, just like similar to last week against the Chargers, you know, throwing an interception at the 1 yard line. I mean, and you know, as a Seahawks fan, if you have Marshawn Lynch and first and goal at the goal line, you should just hand it to him. I mean, that's just what that's what you should do. And, well, the Raiders didn't do that. They threw the ball, and Derek Carr just threw it. It was a boneheaded pass. It was a stupid interception. And, you know, it just kind of made you think back to Super Bowl 49 when it happened to the Seahawks. So he's had moments where Raider Nation is like, oh, yeah, he's the guy. There's that 2016 Derek Carr. And then he has moments where it's like, what in the world is going on with him? You need to trade that guy. He's not going to make it. He's not the franchise quarterback. I think he's going to be fine. I honestly do. I think he's going to be really good for the Raiders. I think he's going to be really good with Gruden. But I just think that he's pressing a little bit. He's trying to impress his new head coach. He's trying, you know, he's heard all the things about Gruden. He's an offensive guru and all that. So I think he's trying to make too much happen at times and then also not make enough happen at times, if that makes any sense. It's just kind of like he's trying to feel it out. He's trying to feel out that situation, and he's not quite there yet. So this season, I've kind of chalked this season up to it's going to be like a mulligan. You know what I mean? Where it's just – Derek Carr is going to learn this system. John Gruden's going to learn how to get the best out of him, and they're going to try to get this thing going like a well-oiled machine, but it probably won't happen. You probably won't see it really get going good until like the end of the season, unfortunately, because Raider fans are sick to their stomach seeing loss after loss after loss, but it's just what it is this year. I do, moving forward, think Derek Carr's the guy, but again, it's going to be growing pains with John Gruden. It's going to be growing pains with him. It's going to be growing pains with the wide receivers, and obviously the defense is a struggle.
Yeah, and I want to keep it on the defensive side of the ball just for a second. We talked about him earlier, and that's Bruce Irvin. Now, there's talk that he could be, you know, a cap casualty for the Raiders. Now, what's the likelihood of Bruce Irvin staying in Oakland throughout the season?
I don't know. I don't know if someone's going to give up something for him. You know what I'm saying? I could totally see the Raiders trading him and moving on from him before the season ends. I definitely think he's gone after the season. I don't think there's any chance that he comes back after the season. And if I was John Gruden, with what Bruce Irvin pulled on Sunday against the Chargers and Phillip Rivers, I would have benched him and not even let him come back and play in the second half. But that's just me. That's just me being a little bit critical. I mean, stupid personal fouls that are just unnecessary and really set up this team for failure, even though the Charger kicker missed the field goal. It still was all bad. So there's a lot of things that Bruce Irvin has been talking. He's been talking real loud, like he's supposed to be the guy. He's the leader. He's pass rusher A now since Agent 52, like I like to call him, is gone. He's in Chicago. So he thinks that he's going to take his role. And you know, I don't feel like he's a number one guy. I feel like he's a really good side dish, but he's not the main course. You know what I mean? He's just not that guy. And he thinks that he is, and he has 3 sacks on the season. So, I mean, what does that tell you? I mean, he's getting success, but not a lot of success. So, I mean, it is what it is. We'll see. But if there's a team that comes and says, hey, we want Bruce Irvin, we think that we can make a little bit of a run with them, and they give up a decent pick, you know, I don't know what a decent pick would even be in the Raiders' eyes, but I could see them shipping him off, because this season, again, is not about winning right now in Oakland. It's about finding the pieces that are going to fit for the long term for the Raiders.
Yeah, and you know, I'm sort of hopeful that Seattle is that team that makes the call for him, or if Oakland decides to move on from him, then they pick up the phone and give him a call, because he's Ken Norton's guy.
Yep,
and vice versa. So, you know, the Seahawks are in desperate need of a pass rush. I'd say that's the biggest area of concern on the defense right now, even with Earl Thomas out for the season. It's just been such a big need. When the Seahawks got pressure on Jared Goff on Sunday, he looked flustered. He looked like he reverted maybe to last year's version, not rookie year Goff, but last year's version of Goff, which is still a big step down from how well he's playing this year, and it created opportunities to take the ball away. But, you know, they got pressure early on, and then it kind of faded away throughout the game. He got comfortable, and that's what ultimately led the Rams to stay in the game, take the lead, and finish it out. And so, you know, in games, they're going to be close. The Seahawks always play competitively, and it's just that, you know, one or two game-breaking plays, game-shifting plays that really count and really make the game for the Seahawks. And I think you hit the nail on the head. He's a perfect, you know, kind of side dish, not sidekick, because, you know, he's a great player, but, you know, complimentary piece, complimentary pass rusher. And now that I think Frank Clark is the guy in Seattle, he's shown a lot. He's shown enough to be the guy in Seattle. I think if you add Bruce Irvin into that mix, then you have a really productive pass rush on your hands.
I do, too. And I think that Bruce Irvin would love to return to Seattle. I mean, I really do, especially after, because Khalil Mack was his guy. I think after Mac was gone, he just kind of didn't like the how everything shook out and how everything, you know, played out. And, you know, he even mentioned the other day he was over at Khalil Mack's house. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, he's still really close with that guy, and that's cool. I'm not mad at that. He can be cool with everybody he wants to be. That's fine. Just want to see more production from him on the field and not making stupid, like I said, unnecessary roughness penalties, those 15 yarders, those personal fouls. And we've seen two of those already this season. One set up Denver right in first and goal, and they end up scoring a touchdown. And one set up LA, the Chargers, set him up to be able to kick a field goal right before halftime. And luckily for the Raiders, they missed it. But still, I mean, it was just unnecessary. And so as far as I'm concerned, like I said, last week Bruce Irvin wouldn't even play in the second half. But that's only if it was me calling the shots. And, well, we all know I'm not.
Yeah, and if I was, then the Seahawks would have paid Earl Thomas before the season. I'm really curious to see, you know, I'll probably keep it at this to close out the conversation, but, you know, after moving on from Marquette King and after moving on from Seabass, how is the Raiders special teams unit as far as punting and kicking the ball for these field goals? And how have they rebounded from losing an all-pro talent in King?
Yeah, I completely forgot that Seabass was in Seattle again. Damn it! He kicked a game-winning field goal the other day, too. 52 yarders. Ugh! I still hate that he's gone. I mean, Marquette King, him being gone, whatever, that's fine. He was way over the top. He was a hell of a punter, but he was over the top. He started getting way more involved in wanting to be a YouTuber and, you know, start doing all these videos and start being cute and started getting too much national attention, and that really went to his head. And, well, you see, he goes to Denver, where he should, in theory, dominate in Denver. I mean, he should just use that altitude and just be a monster. And instead, he was just all right, you know, and now he's not even there. Now he's been released. He's, you know, they put him on IR and then released him with an injury settlement. So he don't even have a team right now. For a guy that has had as much talent as he does, he's just not that guy. So I don't mind seeing him go. Johnny Townsend, the guy that the Raiders ended up drafting because, well, the Seahawks got Michael Dickson, and the Raiders didn't have a chance to. So they got Johnny Townsend out of Florida. He's been okay. He hasn't been great. I've been saying for the longest now that I think that the Raiders should make a call to Shane Lechler, who's an absolute free agent right now. He doesn't have a job. Love to get Shane Lechler back and just do the kicking for the rest of the year. But look, I mean, again, it's not about winning this year. So Johnny Townsend, Gruden's going to try to get this guy taken care of. The real problem, honestly, has been the kicking game as far as the extra points and field goals and kickoffs and all that. They signed a guy, an undrafted free agent out of Florida, who actually was Johnny Townsend's running mate at Florida, Eddie Pinheiro, and he hurts his groin. So he's on IR. He's out for the season. Then they have Mike Nugent. Well, he gets hurt. He's on IR. He's out for the season. And so now, you know, they have this this guy that was – basically flipping a house in Kansas in Little Manhattan or Upper Manhattan. He was flipping a house, and the Raiders call him. So he's a rookie, and he's kicking, and he's just okay. He's nothing special. So the special teams unit, as far as the kicking goes, has been a struggle. But coverage, special team coverage, has been great. It's been really, really stinking good. But the kicking, it's been a struggle.
Yeah, and I just want to thank the Raiders for moving on from Nico Thorpe. He's been one of my absolute favorite players to watch on the Seahawks over the last couple of years. You won't find a more energetic special teams player breathe life into this special teams unit. And I was hoping that he'd make a shot and develop a little bit at corner during training camp. But unfortunately, he was hurt most of training camp, I think, with a wrist injury. But, man, I love Nico Thorpe, and it's surprising to see him a couple of years ago let go by the Raiders.
Well, I'll tell you, man, that pipeline between Seattle and Oakland is thick, isn't it? I mean, man, oh, man, if you leave Seattle, you're headed to Oakland. If you leave Oakland, well, guess what? You're headed to Seattle. It's unbelievable how many connections these two teams have, and now they're going to be playing each other, but yet they're going to be doing it in London.
Yeah, and then it's gonna be a funny game to watch, I think. I think that you know, teams obviously aren't as sharp when they have so much traveling to do, and so there's bound to be a few mess-ups, and there's bound to be – a few, I know this is football, but some Shaqton-worthy plays from this London game.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's going to be very, very interesting. It's an early game. I'm not a big fan of that either, but again, it's in London, so it's probably not early there. So it's going to be what it's going to be. I think that the Seattle Seahawks are going to squeak this one out. I hate to say it. I would love to see the Raiders come away with the victory. If the Raiders do win, it would be a surprise to me. You know, again, we'll see how it goes, and we'll see how that long flight affects both of these teams. And it's going to definitely affect them, but who's it going to affect the most? Well, we'll see on Sunday.
Yep, definitely, definitely. It's going to be a fun game to watch. That's what I think.
Yes, sir. I'm right there with you.
All right. Is there anything else you got for me? Because I think I'm all tapped out. I just want to tell you just one final warning before the end of the show. Watch out for Barkevius Mingo. He's a guy that, you know, fell under the radar after being drafted super high, and he's been playing really, really well in both rushing the passer and in run coverage. So keep your eye on 51 for the Seahawks.
Okay. That's Bruce, his old number. Okay, I see what's up. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll be looking for him. That's what's up. No, I appreciate it, man. That's great stuff right there.
All right, appreciate it, Q.
All
thanks
right, man.
For having me on.
Yeah, hey, thank you for having me on, man. Great stuff. We got about 30 minutes of good stuff.
All right, for sure. Thank you so much.
Everyone loves to watch the Seahawks however they can, but everyone knows that you got to watch it at CenturyLink at least once. Now, not every day you're going to be able to afford tickets, and so Vivid Seats is here to help. Vivid Seats is an online ticket marketplace that can help you get the best price for the best location in the stadium. Now, we know that tickets are expensive, and you know, you want to create memories that will last a lifetime at CenturyLink Field. And Vivid Seats has an offer. It's Locked On is the promo code for $20 off an order of $200 or more. Now, we know that it's going to be easy to rack up the bill on some tickets to see the Seahawks. Now, getting $20 can mean you get some soda, some chips, some hot dogs. So whatever it may be, you can use that $20 to your advantage when you go to the game. And so the promo code is Locked On for $20 off your order of $200 or more. That's VividSeats.com. You can go on the desktop, or you can go to the App Store. You can go to Google Play, and you can get your tickets. That's VividSeats.com. That was our conversation with Q from Locked On Raiders. It was a lot of fun. We want to thank Q for getting together and talking some Seahawks Raiders in London. And, I'm looking forward to a good game. And, you know, I think he's looking forward to a good game. I know Spike is obviously looking forward to the best game that he's ever seen. He's going to be, you know, super excited to watch it, wake up early and watch it. No, but I want to thank you guys for listening to the show. Please leave it a 5-star review on iTunes. Use my bookie. Use Vivid Seats. You know, we've got some great deals going on with those two companies. And, thank you guys for you know, being loyal listeners. We appreciate it. And hopefully the Seahawks keep playing well, and so we can keep that positivity up and keep you guys coming back. So thank you again. We appreciate it. So, now, for the Locked On Seahawks podcast, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.